Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. The call of the sea has long stirred the adventurous male, and for just as long, worried and fretted his wife or sweetheart. In this advanced time of the nuclear submarine, the anxiety of the woman is sometimes increased fourfold, as in our story, The Emergency, the story of a young submarine officer and his wife. Our story was written by William Danch and stars Sam Edwards as Stuart Wade. Let's go aboard one of the Navy's latest nuclear subs for Act One of The Emergency.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Oh, Lieutenant, yes, you can. My name is Major Steele.
Of course, sir. We've been expecting you. The commander told us about you. You're his favorite cousin. May I introduce myself? I'm Lieutenant Wade.
I feel as if I already know you, Lieutenant. My cousin has written me about you in his letters.
Really? Well, we certainly think a lot of the skipper, every one of us. But I'd better take you to the skipper right away. This way, sir.
I'm surprised at the size of your submarine. I had no idea they came this big.
Oh, this is just average. The world's largest sub, the Triton, is a good 40 feet longer than this one. Ah, here are the skipper's quarters. Just knock.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Later, sir, when you have your visit with the skipper. I wonder, well, do you suppose you could spare me a few moments in private?
Why, certainly.
I wouldn't ask this of you, sir, but I have a problem.
Well, if I can help, I'll be happy to do so.
Thank you, sir. See you later.
Come in. Varick!
Jerry! You're looking good.
Please, sit down, won't you? Golly, it's sure been a long time.
It's strange, isn't it, Jerry? As long as you've been in the service, I've never actually seen you on your submarine.
Well, how do you like her?
From what I've seen so far, it's quite a vessel.
It's atomic powered, you know.
So you said in your letters.
Atomic power gives a sub much greater possibilities for operations underwater. Nuclear power plants don't need oxygen to work, so subs can stay underwater for an almost unlimited time. And nuclear power can produce... Forgive me. I can get awful boring when I get started on this.
Oh, no. On the contrary, Jerry. It's most interesting. Please tell me more.
Oh, I will, but not until you tell me more about yourself. You're the most modest man I've ever known. You never talk about yourself.
Now, don't get me started or you'll regret it.
You always were the one to put yourself behind the scenes. Although I'll admit that since you went into the Salvation Army, a change came over you for the better. You're much more possessed and assured.
Perhaps because I know I have the Lord behind me. He's a great tower of strength, Jerry.
This work of yours, doesn't it throw you into contact with, well, you know, sort of people you might not ordinarily mingle with?
Well, perhaps I can best answer that in a roundabout way. May I take a little time to tell you about the founder of the Salvation Army?
Booth. Wasn't that his name?
That's right. William Booth. He was a fine person. A man who never passed up an opportunity to establish contact with his fellow creatures.
Well, I'm reasonably certain he chose his associates with care.
Yes, that's true. But he could also mix with those who were in despair and talk to them.
A very important trait.
It was more than talk, however. Honest exchange. Not just the asking of questions in a superior way. His knowledge of the drunkard and the criminal was obtained by first-hand acquaintance. His love for his fellows was boundless. His wide embracing and fervent charity, no criticism could stay, no rebuff diminish, no hatred quench.
He was a very great man, that's for sure.
He set a fine example of tolerance and love for mankind.
Well, you sound to me like the perfect skipper for a sub.
Hmm?
Except I know how you feel about war. But you would be just what the men on one of these subs need. They need it desperately at times.
We all need other help. Outside help.
and more so on a sub. Life on one of these is not a pleasure cruise. Even on the largest sub, there's very little room for living quarters. No place for exercise. Under some conditions, when they must conserve oxygen, the men lie on their bunks, sleeping, reading, or playing cards, and moving as little as possible. Sometimes the strain... Excuse me, Varick. Let me get this communique. What is it? I see. I'll be there in a moment. Over. Will you excuse me for a couple of minutes, Varick? A little problem with a ballast tank. I'll be right back.
As a matter of fact, your Lieutenant Wade wanted to chat with me for a moment. This will give me the opportunity.
Oh, fine. Might do him good. Something's been chewing him lately. Sure, appreciate any help you could throw his way.
I hardly know how to begin, sir.
Why don't you start at the beginning?
If you don't mind, I'd like to start way, way back.
Go right ahead.
Well, as you know, sir, all men on subs are volunteers.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Well, it would have to be. There are lots of disadvantages to sub duty. On the other hand, living in cramped quarters, sharing facilities with as many as 100 men, submariners develop a feeling for their ship and their crew that enables them to take some real difficulties in stride.
Why did you go into it?
I'm not trying to be insolent, sir, but why did you go into the Salvation Army?
Oh, I don't quite get the comparison.
Because you wanted to help others. Isn't that right? I feel that I can help others by being a submariner. It's most essential to our defense. In case of an all-out nuclear war, I sincerely believe that the submarine will be the most practical ship.
There doesn't have to be any more war.
That's what my wife always says, Major, but we can't be sure, don't you see? We just can't.
Your wife, how does she feel about your career?
Well, she thinks the Navy is just great.
And submarines?
She hates them.
I see.
That's why I've got to talk to you, Major. You've got to help me.
Anything I can do, I will do.
Will you go see my wife? I'll pay your fare. I can't go see her myself. We're restricted to the ship until we sail. Major, I'm worried about my wife. I'm afraid she's going to, well, do something she shouldn't.
What do you want me to do when I see her?
I don't rightly know. Just talk to her, will you? She needs some sort of help. I can't give it to her right now. Please, Major, will you go talk to her? I can't impress on you how important this is right now.
Let me have her address. Your husband asked me to drop in and visit with you.
That was thoughtful of him.
You must be very proud of Stuart.
Oh, I am. As a little girl, I always dreamed of marrying a naval officer.
And now your dream is true.
Not quite.
Oh?
The naval officer I dreamed of marrying was always up on the bridge of a ship, up in the fresh, clean air, not down in the murky depths in a tin fish.
Oh, well, that depends on the view. The water below can be just what one makes it.
Major, that Pollyanna talk won't work with me. Stuart's in danger, mortal danger, as long as he's in the submarine service. Let's be realistic.
I always try to be.
Major, were you ever afraid?
All of us are afraid at one time or another. The psalmist David, in the 56th Psalm, acknowledges his fear and then goes on to state an antidote for it. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in God."
Well, I'm not David. I'm terribly afraid, and I'm not a trusting soul.
Let's analyze your fear for a moment. Fear is an elemental human emotion, part of our natural, God-given equipment. Fear can perform important and worthy functions.
Like what?
Well, some fears are harmful, granted, but fear can be constructive. We survive only if we fear speeding cars, fire, poison, and other menacing things.
Like submarines?
Or try this approach. We have schools because we fear ignorance. We have commerce and industry, and we practice thrift and care because we are afraid of poverty. We have medical science because we fear disease.
What's this got to do with the fact that my husband stands a good chance of dying a horrible death in an underwater coffin?
More than you think, Jimmy. You must recognize the occasions of fear. The time of fear is a time for faith. Find a sure remedy for fear. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." There are some destructively fearful things which only faith in God can conquer.
In other words, Major, I'm to sit back and say to myself, "Don't worry, Jenny, God is watching you and Stuart. Everything's going to be just dandy."
Well, it takes more than just words. You could try practicing the presence of God, as a medieval mystic puts it. Or as the psalmist says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me."
It all sounds so nice and pat. But you know what, Major? It doesn't help me. It doesn't help me one tiny bit. I'm afraid. I've always been afraid since the very moment Stuart decided to become a submariner.
Did you tell him your doubts?
I guess that's where I made my first mistake. I hid my true feelings. I kept thinking he'd see the dangers of submarine duty and give it up.
Well, Stuart didn't strike me as the sort of man who gave up very easily.
No, he certainly isn't. He can be the most pig-headed man in the world.
Mm-hmm. Just how deeply did you two go into this?
I wish he was as dedicated to me.
He loves you, Jenny. He loves you very much.
Let's face facts, Major. Despite this great love he's supposed to have for me, he refuses to give up submarine duty.
Well, that's a rather harsh way of putting it.
Then why isn't he here right now instead of you? You know why? He's restricted because they're going to sail out. For how long, no one knows. At least I don't. And whether he's coming back ever, that's something else I don't know. Major, I'm going to have a baby in a few months. I don't want that baby to be fatherless. I don't want...
Shall I get it?
No, I'll take it. Hello? Stuart. Oh, Stuart, I'm so glad you called. No, I'm fine. No, Stuart, please. Stuart, don't go. I have a terrible feeling something's going to happen. Promise you won't go. You can ask them to let you miss this one. All right, if that's how you want it. Go, Stuart, go. But I want you to understand one thing. If you go now, don't bother coming back to me. Ever.
That was Act One of The Emergency, starring Sam Edwards as Stuart. We'd like to take just a moment here to thank all of you on behalf of the Salvation Army for your support of their work, both in the towns and cities of the United States and as well abroad. We'd also like to express our gratitude to your station, which has graciously consented to let this program be a part of their public service to you. We've gotten many comments and letters from you expressing your opinion of Heartbeat Theater and occasionally suggesting a story. We're glad to know of your interest in the program and as well the Salvation Army. From both the Army and ourselves, thank you again. Now, Act Two of The Emergency with Sam Edwards as Stuart Wade.
Wanted to see me, sir?
Yes. Sit down.
Thank you.
Lieutenant, we've been out to sea for 2 days now, and ever since we sailed, I've been keeping my eye on you.
Anything wrong, sir?
I don't know. But I have a feeling you're under some sort of ordeal.
Everything's all right, sir. There's nothing to... Oh, it's no use.
What's no use, Lieutenant?
I've tried to keep my troubles to myself, but I guess I'm a failure at that, too.
Failure? You're not a failure.
Yes, I am, sir. I'm a failure to my wife, to the service, and to myself, I guess.
Your wife. I have an idea she's not too keen on your being in the submarine service, eh?
To put it mildly, sir.
Well, if this will help, Lieutenant, you should know that practically every career submarine man has the same problem.
Well, not to quite the extreme my wife goes, I'm afraid.
Oh?
She's breaking up our marriage.
I see.
She told me over the phone that if I left on this cruise, I needn't come back to her. I went so far as to ask Major Steele to go see her and just talk to her. He did, but even that didn't help.
Major Steele is one of the finest men I know. If he couldn't help you, I don't know who could. Of course, if the good Major were here, he'd say there is still someone who can help up above.
I've tried everything, sir. I've even prayed.
Even?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you see, we sort of forget religion in our lives as we get older. I used to pray when I was a little boy, but then I got away from that.
Didn't you know your wife long before you got into the submarine service?
That's right. We went to high school together. We were engaged all the time I was at Annapolis.
Well, she knew you were Navy then.
That's it. Navy to her means surface craft, not underwater coffins, as she calls them.
Well, what so many people don't realize is that subs are as safe as any surface vessel. As a matter of fact, subs are safer. As you know, during a storm at sea, 100 feet below, the water's as calm as a mill pond.
I've explained all that to her.
You know, the percentage of submarine accidents is very low, considering the thousands of hours of duty we put in.
But my wife says it's like flying. The percentage may be low, but it's like an air crash. It's so final.
I'd like to meet your wife when we get back. It may help and it may not.
We've hit something.
Quick, come on. All we can do now is... wait.
Wait. For what?
For help.
Will they know we're down here?
I'm sure they will. Even a big ship can't collide with a sub and not know it.
I still can't understand it, sir. How could this happen? Where was our radar?
Our radar was working. It clearly indicated an object nearby. Apparently we were clearing the danger when suddenly the ship veered off course and caught us broadside.
Talk about a freak accident. Smashed our diving planes. And to make it worse, flooded our negative tanks. Can you think of anything worse?
Frankly, yes. We could have lost all of our air supply from such a crash.
Yeah, I guess so. How are we fixed, would you say, sir?
Fixed?
I mean, how long will our oxygen last?
Well, as close as I've been able to compute, we have enough to last us till help arrives.
Exactly how long, sir? I have a right to know.
At least 20 hours.
20 hours?
That's more than enough time to get the salvage operation underway.
If they know about us.
They know.
I wish I was as certain about that as you, sir.
Lieutenant, you've got to be certain. The morale of the entire crew depends on the officers. If we crack up, it's inevitable that they crack.
I'm sorry, sir.
Thank God we've suffered as little loss as we have. 6 crewmen injured, none seriously. If we can reach the surface soon, everyone will come out of it all right.
Sir, if... and I say this without thinking negatively. If we don't get help before our oxygen gives out, we'll still be able to use the escape hatch.
I'm afraid not.
Why?
Our depth is too great for such tactics. I don't believe a human being could survive the terrific pressure we're subjected to down here.
I'd be willing to try, sir.
Well, what good would that do?
Well, I could float on the surface and the rescue ships could spot me. Then I could help direct the salvage operations.
In this freezing water? Lieutenant, you know better than that. You couldn't survive 15 minutes in that cold.
But it's a chance, sir.
We've got a chance down here, too.
We have, if they know that they hit us.
They've got to know.
Do they, sir? And just say that they don't know, then what?
Well, then, it'll all be over in 20 hours.
It's funny. My wife always feared this. Now she can say, I told you so.
I don't think she will. Anyway, we're all alive and in good shape. Most of us, that is.
Is there anything at all that we can do?
Only one thing.
Yes, sir?
We can pray.
As a kid, I prayed. I can hardly remember the prayer that I used.
Night used to be a time of mystery for me when I was small. Well, let's be honest. It was more than mystery. It had something of fear, too. I used to have a little night prayer I used to say to give me security.
Would you mind reciting it now, sir?
It might be a good time. Our Father in heaven, we now kneel tonight to ask your protection until it is light. Let no harm come to us, though no light we see. Send angels to guard us. We ask this of thee.
That's appropriate, sir.
What was your prayer, Lieutenant?
Oh, I had a little morning prayer. Dawn was always such a great event to me. Here's the way it went. God, our Father, bless your child. Make me good like you and mild. Let me think of you today when I'm busy at my play. No harm then will come to me, for I place my trust in thee.
The salvage crews have located the sub, but there is still no news concerning possible survivors. The nation joins the families of the missing men in offering prayer for their safety. Now back to our main studios for our regular programming.
Time. It's running out. It's running out.
No, it isn't. Time is relative. Believe that.
Stuart's gone. I know it.
I can't help but feel that he isn't.
Does your God tell you that, Major?
He's your God too, Ginny.
Then why does he do these terrible things to me?
Ginny, God didn't cause the accident. A human error or a mechanical defect caused it. You must not blame God for the ills of the world. If religious faith is to mean anything, it must recognize the greatness of God. But it must be realistic, too, like the faith of the three Hebrew lads in the Bible who faced the fiery furnace. Our God, they said, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we will not serve thy gods. They went through the furnace, and God himself was with them, so they were not burned. But, Ginny, the wonderful part of that story was not the miraculous escape, but the faith of the three Hebrew boys. If not, we will still believe God. This is faith that goes beyond life. I wish you could accept it and find comfort in God, who will not fail you if you make even a feeble attempt to realize his presence.
I wish I could, too.
You must, Ginny, you must.
I'd give anything to take back what I said to Stuart before he left, anything.
I'm sure he knows you love him, in spite of your words. We'll just keep hoping and praying that you have a chance to tell him so.
I'll try to believe. I will. Please, Major, will you take this? I can't.
Yes, of course. Hello? Lieutenant Wade's residence. Yes, that's right. What? Oh, I'll tell her. I'll tell her. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Stuart, more coffee?
Oh, not just now, dear.
I tell you, Major, she's determined to fatten me up so that I won't fit into my uniform.
Well, it won't hurt you. You did lose a few pounds.
Oh, he was gone.
Well, to be honest, none of us were doing much eating while we were down there.
It must have seemed an eternity.
To be entirely truthful, yes. Even when we heard the first contact of the salvage crew, we could hardly be sure that we were going to see the light again.
Your commander said that he was proud of all of you. Not one man lost his courage or his faith.
The only thing that really troubled most of us was the worry we were causing our families.
For a while, I wasn't sure you thought about that.
I have to apologize for that, Jenny. I'm sorry about the way I acted. But you needn't worry anymore. No more.
No?
Nope. I've made up my mind. You're not going to go through any more tortures. As a matter of fact, I've already framed a letter to the service. I'm leaving the submarines.
What?
That's right. I'm transferring out to another branch of the Navy.
Well, that's very brave of you, Stuart.
You're doing this only for me, isn't that right?
Yes.
In other words, if it weren't for my fears, you'd stay in the submarines?
That's right. But as long as you feel the way you do, it wouldn't be right to make you suffer. And I'll still be in the Navy.
Of course. And Stuart can easily adapt himself. Why, I sincerely expect to be congratulating him on taking over his own ship before long.
Well, that might take a little doing, Major, but thanks for the thought.
I expect Stuart to take over his own ship, too.
Oh, another impartial source.
No, you're wrong. I firmly believe you'll have your own ship before too long. But it's going to be a sub.
Huh?
You heard me. I've been doing some self-analysis, and thanks to the Major, I've had a chance to see how I let fear govern me too much.
But, Jenny, you said yourself
now,
that...
Let me finish. When you were down there, I was terrified of losing you, afraid for myself, afraid for the baby. There was nothing to hang on to, no inner faith or strength. But the Major helped me to find God. Now I don't feel so alone. And the thought of you on a submarine doesn't frighten me so much. I'd rather you stay in the submarine service, really.
You're a brave girl, Jenny. Very brave.
I've had a chance to do some reading, too. The Major very kindly left some with me. I ran across a very interesting bit of writing that impressed me so much I learned it by heart. In a way, it sums up my feelings. Would you like to hear it?
Of course.
It was written by Grace Noel Crowell. Here's how it goes. Nevertheless, at thy word, I too will launch my ship out on my own dark sea, though I have waited patiently and long for the blessing I have sought so earnestly. I shall listen to my Lord's commanding voice. The rosy dawn will break through soon or late, and like the slackened net of long ago, mine too will fill with sudden silver weight.
So ends the final act of The Emergency, starring Sam Edwards as Stuart Wade. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.